Our study tonight is out of the book of Joel, Joel chapter 1, verses 1 through 20, God's judgment of Judah with a locust plague. The day of the Lord, it's a term used of the time when God administered judgment on sin and deliverance for his people, can be applied to an event in Israel's past history as well as the end times. Joel's prophecy is written likely when young King Joash ruled under the regency of priests. Deal with both uses of this term, the existence of a locust plague in Joel's era that prefigured a military invasion in the future Great Tribulation. So we view the locust plague in Joel 1, 1 to 20 for our insight and our application. I'd like to read the passage and then we will look at it. Joel, actually chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, you old men, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell you your children of it, let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten, that which the locust hath left has the canker worm eaten, and that which the canker worm hath left has the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep and howl, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up upon my land, strong without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, he has the cheek teeth of a great lion. He has laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He has made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Lament like a virgin that is girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meal offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted, the land mourneth, for the grain is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languishes. Be ye ashamed, O you farmers, howl, O you vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up. The fig tree languishes, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. Even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourselves and lament, you priests. Howl, you ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you ministers of my God, for the meal offering and the drink offering is withheld from the temple of your God. Sanctify you a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders, all the inhabitants of the land, into the temple of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as the destruction from the Almighty it shall come. Is not the meat cut off from before our eyes? Yes, joy and gladness from the house of our God. The seed is rotting under their dried dirt clods. The garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down. The grain is withered. How do the animals groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. Yes, even the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. The flame has burned all of the trees of the field. The animals of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of water are dried up. The fire has devoured the pastures even of the wilderness. Okay. The Mosaic Covenant provided that if Israel violated the law of God, he would punish her in various ways, including destruction by locusts, that's in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 42, and or by an invading army, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 49 to 51. It's interesting how in Deuteronomy 28, 42 and Deuteronomy 28, 49 to 51, the destruction of the land by locusts is very similar to the destruction of the land by an invading army. They come through and they just take all the food and strip all the trees and use it for firewood. Well, where Joel 1, 1 to 20 reported of God's judgment in Joel's day by a locust plague, Joel 2, 1 to 17 predicted God's judgment by an invading army in the end time day of the Lord. So you have an immediate reference to the day of the Lord and the last time, end time, day of the Lord. The term day of the Lord, incidentally, came from the belief in the pagan world that a great God would come along and he would be so powerful, he would fight his enemies and gain victory over them in a single day. So the term Day of the Lord is a reference to God when he comes in his great power and he gains victory over the world. Now the Day of the Lord, as it's presented in Scripture, especially in the Great Tribulation period, is an era. It's not just one single day. The whole era of the Great Tribulation is called part of the Day of the Lord. The Messianic Kingdom of 1,000 years is called the Day of the Lord. The ending of the earth and the building of the new heavens and the new earth, that's all lumped together in the Day of the Lord. That's when God rises to show his power and his dominance in the world. So you have to look at the term Day of the Lord as it's used, as it's applied to Scripture. So Joel 1, 1-12 describes the great destruction on Judah that occurred with the locust plague as follows. What had just occurred was unique. What had never yet happened or ever would occur again. This is why he said, you fathers, do you have a remember? You elders, do you remember this? And tell it to your children's children. This is a unique event. A locust plague by 4 varieties of locusts. Apparently there are over 82 types of locusts, but there were 4 varieties used here had hit Judah. With the shearing locust coming, followed by the swarming locust, that was in turn followed by the lapping locust, that in turn was followed by the devouring locust, and it left the plant life in Judah utterly destroyed. It killed all the trees, everything. Those who were drunk with wine in Judah were to lament, since the locusts had cut off the grapevines that produced more wine. A nation of locusts beyond number had invaded and laid waste the vine and the fig tree, stripping off the bark to where the branches were laid bare and white. If you notice, not only fig trees and whatnot, if you take a maple tree, especially I like to cut off the branches at the end, you strip the bark off and they're all white underneath. And that's the picture here. The locusts were so hungry, they ate not only the leaves, they ate the bark, right down to the point where the branches were white. The people were to grieve like a virgin wearing sackcloth for the deceased bridegroom of her youth. For the grain offering and the drink offering were cut off from even the temple of the Lord due to the total devastation of the locusts. See, people couldn't bring anything because they didn't have any food. It was all taken. The fields had been destroyed. The ground mourned because the grain was destroyed. The wine was dried up and the olive oil languished. Olive oil doesn't languish, but you can see the metonymy here. It's a figure of speech. It's talking about the fact that everything has been laid bare, so the people themselves are languishing. I think it's called a synecdoche, where the cause is put for the effect. It's a figure of speech where it's not the oil that's languishing. People are languishing because there's no oil. Those who tilled the soil were to be ashamed. The vine dressers were to wail, for the wheat and the barley, the harvest of the field had perished. The grapevine was dried up. The fig tree languished. The pomegranate, which is sort of a specialty plant in those days. The palm, and remember palm trees, they have palm oil for cooking. Apple trees, all the trees of the field were dried up to where gladness had been dried up from the people of the land. Accordingly, since Deuteronomy 28:42 in the Mosaic Covenant indicated that God had used this severe locust plague to punish the nation for sin, Joel called for repentance from the people of Judah. He called the priests, the ministers of the altar, to put on sackcloth, which is a sign of mourning, and to enter the temple to spend the night there because the grain and the drink offerings were being withheld from the temple of their Lord. Joel urged that they call for a fast and a solemn assembly. This is where they gather the entire nation into the courts of the temple, to gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the temple of the Lord their God, and there cry out in repentance for deliverance. Interesting. Then Joel chapter 1, verses 15 and 18, especially in the English Standard Version, God's prophet himself continued to grieve over the devastation that had occurred. You have to keep in mind these prophets. They were prophets of the Lord. They represented the Lord to the people, but they also were Jewish men themselves. This was their country. So they would identify with their people and with the suffering that occurred here. The day of the Lord was upon them, having to come from Almighty God. The food had been cut off from before their eyes, the joy and gladness even from the temple of their God. They didn't have any worship songs going on. Everybody was bothered. Everybody was worried. They didn't have anything for the sacrifices. The sown seed had shriveled under dried dirt clods. The storehouses were desolate. The granaries were torn down since the grain had dried up. The animals groaned. The cattle were perplexed because there was no pasture. And even the sheep, who usually found sparse plant life to eat, suffered a lack of food. They say that sheep and goats, you can take them out into an area. And if you give them enough time in one location, they'll actually strip it bare. But they can find something to eat. But even the sheep were hurting. So the prophet Joel himself called out to the Lord over the devastation that he himself beheld. Joel cried out to the Lord for the locust plague like a fire that had devoured the pastures of the wilderness, the figurative flame of the plague that had figuratively burned down all the trees in the field. Even animals of the field panted for the Lord. This would probably include deer. They would have bears, lions they still had in those days. For the water brooks were dried up, and the figurative fire of the locust plague had devoured even the sparse pastures of the wilderness. Remember the southern Jordan down in the Negev, you had a wilderness area, but there might be some plant growth that would grow there. The locusts had come. They had denuded not only the area where a lot of plants were, they'd gone down into that Negev area, the wilderness, and if there was any plant down there, they'd eaten it, cleared it off. There's nothing. Nothing that was left that was growing. And remember, in an agricultural society, this isn't like a place where we have a store like Aldi's and Price Right, where you have food there, you can still get it for some time. Their food came directly from the land. So this is a hardship, and it's a scary one for them. So the lesson is, in punishing Judah for violating the Mosaic law, God had sent a severe locust plague to denude the land, leading his people, his prophet Joel, rather, to call the nation to repent and to petition the Lord for deliverance from his punishment. Very simple, but very profound lesson. If we face a great trial in our lives, may we examine our hearts to see if we have sinned, and if so, may we repent. You'll notice how we stated that. Just because we have a big trial does not necessarily mean that we have sinned. Someone did a study and found out there are 6 or 7 reasons why Christians suffer. One of them is sin. But the other 6 are for other reasons. Sometimes God brings trials along into a Christian's life just to demonstrate the work that God has already done in his life. It's like an improving trial. So you have to be very careful. But the first thing we should check, if a severe issue or a severe trial comes along, the first thing we should check is our hearts. Are we right with the Lord? And boy, if we're not, we need to deal with that and handle it. There may be other reasons. Sometimes the Lord will reveal, if we face a great trial, he may reveal immediately what's happening. Sometimes he doesn't reveal right away. He will wait, sometimes even years. And as we look back, we see that the trial was aimed at protecting us from something. And then we can praise the Lord. But a lot of times when the trial comes, we're not very happy about it, that's for sure. But the first thing to do is examine our hearts to see if we have sinned. And if so, may we repent.